It's good to be able to see familiar friends from different places and to be here on this Lord's Day as we come to hear the Word of God. And the sermon for today, its title is River of Pleasures, and Psalms 36 verse 8 is my text. I have to admit, prepared my sermons considerably in advance, and so this sermon I prepared some weeks ago, I have to confess. And so for those who are here and others who may be listening on the internet, this was the chosen text for today, the River of Pleasures, and I am keeping close to my notes. This psalm begins and ends with the wicked. It is a sober description of the wicked and a sober estimate of their end. We see it there at the beginning, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. In other words, when that iniquity is seen, he is unwilling to consider it, to take it to heart. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. That's their description. It begins with that, in rather solemn and in rather negative tones. And then it ends with their destiny. Verse 12, they're the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. Negative beginning. A negative end. But look what lies between those verses. Look in verses 5 and 6. See there the great attributes of God, his worthy and wonderful attributes. What measure can we use to survey them, to be able to fathom them? Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. It's high above. Oh, we've come from this world of the wickedness, and now here is the world inhabited by the Lord, his mercy in the heavens. Faithfulness reaching to the clouds. We've got a few clouds today hanging over us here, but you can imagine clouds high in the sky. Your faithfulness reaches there. And what of his righteousness? It's like the great mountains. They don't move. They don't shift. They're not shaken. And his judgments are great deep. There's a profundity. The measure of these things, these attributes, they take us up. They make us look down. They show us stability and solidity. Well, having considered that, we see, as we particularly move to the area of our considerations this morning, that God's people can contemplate the loving kindness, the wonders of God's loving kindness. The psalmist is stirred by these things. How precious is your loving kindness, O God? What does he find? He finds their safety. They put their trust under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. They're satisfied with the abundance, the fullness of God's house. And yes, we haven't forgotten, the series is on rivers. Here is our river, we're coming towards it. We've been looking at rivers of challenge, rivers of judgments, the river that was there in the garden at the beginning. Here is this river. You give them drink from the river of your pleasures. A river, a fountain of life in which we see his light, a fountain that is flowing. Safety, pleasure, satisfaction, all expressed there by the psalmist, having contemplated the wicked and seen the glory of God, having reflected upon, meditated upon the goodness of the Lord, the extent of his kindness. Praise then in verse 10 that more of that loving kindness and of that righteousness that he would reveal and show. And praise that the foot of pride may not come against his people and let not the hand of the wicked drive us away. A river of pleasures. Well, what can we say about this river more precisely as our attention is taken up very much with verse 8 of this 36th psalm? It's a river from God. That's my first, the most obvious point. It is a river from God. That's its source. This is where it is coming from. Out walking with Caroline the other day, and we're up round Edale. Oh, what a place it is up round there, beginning of the Pennine Walk. I stress that it was the beginning of it. I couldn't attempt to do much more than the beginning of the Pennine Walk. Have 100 miles and 200, 300 miles, is it, that you'd have to go across bogs and up the hill and down dale? Well, we didn't attempt too much of that. We took a fairly steady amble along the first stretch of it from Edale. But as we proceeded, there was a spring coming up from the rock, and flowing down, and as it flowed down, it collected other streams as it went, and a fair bit of mud that particular day it generated, but then we could see it sort of flowing on and flowing on. The source of that spring, that river that flowed on and on. For us, and this river of pleasures, it springs from heaven. It springs from the heart of God. It's a spiritual river, and it brings spiritual good. We can tie it up, can't we, with John chapter 7. And the Lord Jesus, on that occasion, when on the Feast of Tabernacles, he's there in Jerusalem. And when he stands up and when he speaks of what he will offer to his people, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Oh, the promise that he had within himself there to give. Out of their hearts will flow these rivers of living water. The Spirit, that's of whom he spoke. He wasn't looking around at any particular water there and say, well, that's what you'll drink of there and that'll provide it for you. He was thinking about what would happen when he was glorified. Dead, then raised, then ascended, then crowned in glory. And from that glory, proceeding then from Father and Son, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Spirit dwelling in the hearts of his people. And like then, a river reaching from heaven, from the throne of God, and reaching to his people to revive them and refresh them and run through the very heart of their lives. The Lord Jesus spoke to the woman at the well in Samaria, Sychar. And there you'll perhaps know the story very well. It's not a story, it's a narrative, it's true. And how this woman began to wonder as he spoke to her, not about the water of the well that was there, that famous well in the history of the people of God, but it wasn't that water that the Lord Jesus was talking about. He says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. That river again, this drinking from the river of pleasures, this spiritual good proceeding from God who is spirit and reaching to people who are weak and but flesh and blood and bringing them life and bringing them grace. It's a gift. It's a gift. Everything from God is a gift. He owes us nothing. Nothing. He doesn't owe you your life and your breath. He doesn't owe you this day. He isn't obliged to you. You haven't got a contract that he's entered into you. I shall do this for you and I shall do that for you. And these things are things that indeed you're entitled to expect from me. Well, Severn Trent, we're perhaps entitled to expect a reasonable supply of water from them. We're glad that they were digging up the marketplace the other day there to fix the troubles we've been having, the floods down there. We little realised that following up behind Severn Trent was Derbyshire County Council with all their tarmacking and resurfacing, which created not a little confusion here in Crich. But anyway, this isn't something that's water that you've contracted for, and if it doesn't get through to you, you're on the phone to Severn Trent and you're demanding, where is my water? I should have my supply by now. My contract's here. I think there's some compensation if it's not on within 24 hours. Entitled to that. I'm not suggesting that's what you should do, but anyway, you would be entitled to it, I'm sure. But we're not entitled by right or by any obligation that God is under for this water to even come anywhere near us, to even touch our hearts. He owes us nothing. He's not in our debt. It is the gift of God. The world can't receive this gift. It doesn't know it. The world can't arrive at spiritual understanding and spiritual light unless the Lord gives it to them. unless the Lord speaks, unless they hear, and in hearing they live, and in living receive of the blessing of the Spirit, and then flowing within their hearts are those rivers of living water. And then flowing up within them is that living water coming up within their heart, welling up to eternal life. It's a gift. Dear friend, have you received that gift? Are you born again? Are you a person who has turned from his or her sin and trusted in Christ? You won't receive this life. You won't be able to say that, oh, your loving kindness is so precious. You won't be able to say that I'm so satisfied with the fullness, the full range of things that is found in your house. You won't be able to say that this river is a river of pleasures, and that it is with you, this fountain of life. In your light, we see light. We understand. We receive of your truth and we understand. You won't be able to say it because you need to be born again. It's a gift. And therefore, gifts are given by those who are compassionate. They are what are gifts of mercy. There's a kindness. And God is kind and generous. Friend, are you saved? Have you been born again? Have you been schooled in a kind of religion, some degree of Christianity? Are you truly amongst the Lord's people, member of the household of God, drinking daily from this river of pleasures? Are you saved? Does this mean anything to you, to be able to speak of the loving kindness of God? You need this gift. Mercy is in God's heart to give, but you'll need to seek him and seek him diligently. So the first point is a river from God. The second point is, it is a great river. It is a great river. I have to admit, some rivers disappoint, don't they? Some rivers that you might have heard of, and you've read about them, and you've seen them in an atlas, and you go and see it for yourself. Disappointing. You sort of look, and there's litter lying around on the banks. There's a kind of muddy grey colour. I have to admit, been to Vienna, had a trip out. You have to go from the city centre to see the Danube. Expectation. Oh, the Danube. Oh, Strauss, the waltzes, the blue Danube. You with me? Oh, what a disappointment. It's a sort of canalized river. It's a muddy kind of brown colour. I have to say, it wasn't worth the tram ride to go out to see it, in all truth. I guess in other parts of Eastern Europe, it exhibits something rather more interesting. But there in Vienna, I have to confess, a great river though it was, it disappointed me. But not this river here. This river has so much. It's got depths. It's got length. It's got immensity. It's got proportions. It's got rich properties. Oh, much water in rivers. You wouldn't want to drink it, would you? You wouldn't kind of get your glass and sort of scoop some of that out and give that a trial. You'll be in hospital pretty soon. I'm sure you'd contract some amoebic infection or whatever it is, and you'd be in great difficulty. But never with this river. Oh, you could drink of it, and you could drink of it, and you would still be wanting to drink more of it because of its richness, because of its properties. Oh, it has nothing harmful in it, everything beneficial in it. Oh, it is there. You give them drink from the river of your pleasures. It has beauty. I confess, I think the Danube in Vienna, with apologies to Vienna, is ugly. It's not a pleasant sight. It's not a pretty river at that point. You have to go elsewhere to see it at its best. But oh no, there's beauty in this river. It's a great river. It's a river such as you might travel to and look at and say, well, the half was not told me how beautiful it is, how it winds and through the valleys and its colours and its hurrying over these cataracts and waterfalls and such things. Why, it's a remarkable river. And so it is, this river. It never disappoints. What the world offers by way of attractions will always fail. They're empty. Buy a new car and it's already falling to bits, in a sense, and depreciating before you've driven it off the forecourt. Buy something, a computer, well, planned obsolescence means, well, give it a week and you probably need to get the next upgrade or something fresh to put in it because new software has rendered it obsolete. New houses, well, they get cracks in them, and you find it doesn't quite fit there, or that's not quite there. Disappoints. Good things, and enjoyable things, and excellent things in their place. But they're never going to provide what the Lord provides. It is a great river. Do not think that you surrender earthly hopes for something small when you receive of this river. Do not think that by coming to the Lord Jesus and owning him as Lord, that the Christian life is cramping or restrictive or deadening. Don't have hard thoughts about the Lord. Don't entertain hard thoughts about him. What is the use? What can he give? What can he do? All think no such thing. This is a great river. Don't, as if we're describing some sort of tropical paradise, a beautiful river sort of flowing through it. Oh, it's nothing. I've seen better elsewhere. I've been here and I've seen better than this. You won't. You can harden your heart indeed and try to see it as nothing, to try to paint the Christian life as something cramping and restrictive and deadening. It's a great river when you come to Christ that you receive of. This is wonderful water that flows through the hearts of his people. Well, the next point is this. In a sense, it's an oxymoron. It's something that's true anyway. It is a flowing river. It's a flowing river. It's a moving river. Well, you'd say rivers flow. They have to. That's what a river does, doesn't it? Well, yes, it does. But some are sluggish, aren't they? Some don't seem to be flowing so freely. The water seems to be labouring. Looks unpleasant, perhaps, and polluted. It's just sort of a stagnant kind of river. No life, no dynamism to it. But our river, we're believers today, this river of your pleasures, God's pleasures, this is bringing something. This river's doing something. It's got life. It's got a dynamic. We know this, don't we? Because rivers generate power. And many countries benefit from rivers that generate hydroelectric power. Well, I'm no expert on these things. But, you know, you build a dam and the water goes through and turbines here. I'm not going to say too much. I'll show my scientific ignorance as sure as anything if I continue. But these great turbines are working away and generating power and electricity. It's moving. You've got the force of the water behind it there. God's Spirit doesn't fossilize us. God's Spirit doesn't mean we just stay the same. This river's moving. It's a great river. It comes from God. It can't do anything but be moving. It's dynamic. It changes wherever it touches. Whoever's life it impacts, they are changing. Just like the generating of electricity, something's happening. There's life in it. God's Spirit doesn't fossilize us. Doesn't leave us static, unchanging, not learning, not growing. It means that we are able to reflect on ourselves, consider ourselves, examine ourselves. We're able to scrutinize ourselves as to who we are and what we're doing. And then, when we reflect, it leads us to repentance. We're able to sorrow for our sin. This river's moving. It wouldn't have us stay content with the sin that we have, content with our habits, content with our attitudes, content with our indifference to a plight of a lost world. No, it stirs us. We begin to repent. We learn to see this is not right, to change. The wonder is we do change. Oh, people go for self-help counselling. That's the vogue, isn't it? How many books in our bookshops are on self-help counselling? Pop psychology, whatever term you might care to use for it. But anyway, you know, do this, do that. Self-esteem, think big thoughts, dream great visions, and, you know, it'll all come true. If it doesn't come true, at least you'll be feeling better about things and about yourself. And so it goes. You get one to understand, a lot of people are still very unhappy and not finding that it is helping much, and needing to go back for more, and if that book didn't do it, buy another book. A whole range of books. Perhaps try this niche here, maybe that will offer me the treatment and the help that I'm looking for. Yet it doesn't change us. And people can be going through this in therapy for years, and it doesn't change them. They're not altered. Because in these ideas, in some of these self-help books, is not the dynamic of God's Word and God's Spirit. It's not changing them. And many, and we can understand fully there, that some people, mental illness and troubles like this, and depressions that are difficult, and a trial that we may have to endure. But what the world offers, so much of its therapies and its self-help, simply will not produce the change that God's Spirit can do. Oh, to be a Christian! You're in a process of change. To be a Christian, you're not in the process of becoming not a Christian, or a worse Christian. Hopefully, I trust, we're in the process of becoming what we're meant to be as Christians. Life-giving. It's got dynamic. To drink of God's spiritual blessings, oh, it is knowledge. It is to know his truth. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That brings me to my next point. As it is a dynamic and a flowing river, comes from God, it's by his gift, it flows that way, it is a great river with wonderful properties. It's flowing, it's moving, it's producing, it's energizing. It's also a dependable river. Again, elementary geography. Some rivers are erratic. Some rivers, the water's there one moment and then it's gone. When my visits to India and a great river in Madurai, its name eludes me now, but when I was there and my colleagues on that ministry trip 2.5 years ago, it must have been now, there was hardly any water at all. You saw the great sort of banks of this river, you saw its great width, but there were people actually living where the river would have been had it have been the wet season. There were people establishing their homes there and drying their clothes out there and making a living there. Because just a little trickle of water in this great, vast stretch of river and the bed of the river there, which was exposed, just a little trickle of water. Of course, come the rainy season, that water would have expanded. It would have been there. Those people that were busy washing, dressing, living on that particular bank and riverbed, they'd have to move. Water would have been flowing. Not a dependable river. It's erratic. But for us, this river goes on and goes on and goes on. Just as it's flowing, it never slows down, it never becomes sluggish, neither does it weaken or dry up to a trickle. It is a dependable river. But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. This morning, when you awoke, it was there. That water, that life-giving power, that energy, that dynamic to change, that understanding that comes, it was there. This afternoon, I assure you, it will be there. This evening, you will find, perhaps as you set your heart to pray, or as we come again together in the Lord's house to attend to his word, it will be there. Because it doesn't have a wet season and a dry season. It is not like a river that one moment is an absolute torrent, is an absolute flood, but then dries up to but a trickle. It is ever steady, ever moving, ever dependable. All the things that God gives to his people. His cheer, his presence, his love, his grace. The psalmist has prayed for these things. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Oh, he knows of these things. He's praying, oh, that I would find more of this. He won't be disappointed because he will. The river keeps flowing. God's spiritual blessings from his throne. This is a great river. This is a flowing river. It is a dependable river. And thus it reaches to all who are his children. You may not be well today. Child of God, sick in body. Perhaps sick in mind, you're struggling, it's difficult, you feel hemmed in, worried, anxious. This river won't disappoint you. If you are Christ's and he is yours, if you are in him and he is in you, then flowing within your heart, this river of life, these life-giving waters from the throne of God, this spiritual good, this spiritual grace. At death's door, yes, at death's door, this river doesn't suddenly go, doesn't then drop down to a trickle. No. Saints on their deathbeds, not all, but some, will actually say that there, the pleasures, the goodness of God, these things, the properties of this river sparkled all the more. As if they'd lived their lives up until that stage, barely understanding how great was this mercy of God. And now, at death's door, They could hardly tell whether they were still on the earth or had gone to glory. It was so near. This river of pleasures, its dependability, only etched further in their minds, in their experience, in their thinking, when at death's door. Don't fear death. Don't fear it. Don't think, will he be there for me? If you're a Christian, he will. He'll be there for you. He will be there for you. This river won't have gone. It's not dried up on you. Still flowing, still dependable. Presence, the companionship of God, his loving kindness continued to those who know him. Be sure of it. Know it. When you set your heart to pray, when you struggle, oh, that my thoughts and my flesh would be subdued, would that I could get away from distractions and all the intrusions into my mind. And you cast yourself upon the Lord. And the river is there. The help is given. And through the muddle and the distractions and the confusions, he's able to bring us through and encourage us. Hardships and sufferings, the river is dependable in those as well. It runs at all times, not like our water supply. Sometimes it's on, maybe, and sometimes it's off. It's there at all times, in the morning, all through the day, all through the year, in sickness, in health, at death's door, in hardship and suffering. And finally, most obviously, it's a river of pleasures. It is a river of pleasures. Some rivers are dangerous. Dangerous, dangerous places. You get in them, you could drown. You could be swept away. There are hidden currents. There are obstacles and dangers. Pollution, whatever it might be. Keep out. But this river reflects what brings God pleasure. What God delights in. The river of pleasures. It won't be just pleasures that our kind of own taste or what we would have them to be. This isn't just anything that will amuse us, or that would interest us, or that's part of this river. It reflects what brings God pleasure. It reflects what brings the Lord delight. It reflects his righteousness and holiness. It's all part of its beauty. That there's righteousness and holiness. It's pure. This is sanctified. And those who drink of it, this river of pleasures, learn themselves to be obedient. Learn themselves to know strength to be holy. Find that holiness is the highway to happiness and joy of heart. Oh, they love the things of God, or they grow to. They love the things that belong to him, his purity and his glorious justice, and everything pertaining to his majesty. These things are beautiful to them. The world says that holiness will not make you happy. They say unholiness, unrighteousness will make you happy. And you can see the obvious results of it. Drunkenness. Even this week, I think, was at a consultant at a hospital recording the incidents of alcohol-related troubles and injuries and things that people were contracting and coming into hospital with, asking there be a review of these things. Sexual promiscuity, desires for vengeance, power, pleasures of sin for a season. They are passing pleasures. Just as in 1 Peter, people marvel that we are not carried away in this flood of dissipation. Oh no, not for us. If we're true Christian men and women, boys and girls, for us, this river of righteousness is a joy to us. This river of holiness excels, makes it sparkle, makes it so winsome and so much to our taste. We would have that river. Oh yes, the parts we have to do battle within ourselves. It's like a mirror to us. This river is so pure that we see ourselves and see our impurities, and we see all the sin clinging to us, and it tests our hearts and purifies us and refines us. It can be embarrassing, it can be difficult, it can be painful, it can be humiliating. But it's a river of great delight. And it is a river of joy. To know our sins forgiven. So the joy that our sins are blotted out, that it was God's delight and God's pleasure to receive a people to himself and to forgive them for his Son's sake, to give them a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, to make him to be sin for us, a curse for us, to bear everything by our words and actions, by our lack of love for him and lack of love for neighbour, meant that we were worthy of death. The wages of sin is death. But here, the gift of God, this life that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, that by dying upon the cross, our sins forgiven, by him having the punishment for our sins taken upon himself, he being our substitute, we go free. We're released, we're delivered. We have no longer sentence over us of death, an impending sense of judgment that will break upon us. Nor our joy has come because our sins are forgiven. It's a river of peace, a river of peace. It has calm, it has quietness. There's a confidence that it gives. It's dependable, it flows in a sort of stable way, it's ever moving, it's dynamic. And to know the joy of our sins forgiven, and to know that a holy God has, for Christ's sake, blotted out our transgression, brings peace to the conscience, peace to the heart, brings to us the knowledge, God is for me, though Satan may accuse me, and people may say, oh, you call yourself a Christian, try to pick holes. There's peace, oh, we know against ourselves, we're wretches. We know against ourselves that we fail miserably. And the accuser of the brethren comes. Yes, you see. Yet, still we know we are the Lord's. And still we have that peace and assurance. And still we're able to carry on that day and find his help. And this river of God's love is always flowing at its best. It's always bursting its banks with this grace, this love. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. This river of God's love that, if you will, if we can take the picture on, just comes into an ocean of God's love. What things it has for us. So I finish. Do come. Come and drink of it. It well supplies its sons and daughters this. This river and all of its blessedness, come and drink. It can revive the weary. It can revive the aged. Come, come and drink deep of it. Come to Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of men and women. Come to him who died on that tree, the just for the unjust, to bring you to God. That then you may find, yes, it is a river of pleasures, that you may find that you are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of God's house, that you learn that you will give them drink from the river of your pleasures. Amen.